Hello there. What's going on, everybody? Adam Pfeiffer here once again with For the Numbers, presented by FTNFantasy.com, here on Thursday, August 15th, 2024. Talking some more fantasy football. It's a great time. Preseason week two approaching rapidly. And the news just keeps flying in. And unfortunately, it isn't all great. Some more players banged up, especially in Minnesota. We'll talk about some more of the news that continues to pile on around the NFL. And on today's episode, going over some bounce back candidates for the 2024 season. I tried to, for the most part, not include, we can briefly touch on some of the players that obviously had bad seasons last year due to injury, right? Anthony Richardson, Chubb, Jonathan Taylor. Those guys can be talked about too, but talking about some players that I expect to fully bounce back and really impress in 2024. But what a time for football. Hopefully you have been taking advantage of the promo we are running right now at FTN Fantasy. Use the promo code 15 to get yourself 15% off. That offer ends today. If you're listening to this on Thursday, August the 15th, today's your final day to take advantage of that promo code. So to get access to everything, the rankings, tools, projections, cheat sheets, articles, access to the Discord, the Stats Hub, Jeff Ratcliffe's game plan draft guide, you name it. This is the final day to get that 15% off. Again, that's promo code 15, FTN15 at checkout. And of course, the podcast brought to you by Circa. With the return of the NFL, we also have the return of the largest pro football contests in Vegas. Circa Survivor and Circa Millions, now up to a record $16 million. Whew. In guaranteed prizes. Two ways to win, no rake. Circa Survivor contestants select one team each week with no point spread. Lasts the longest to win it all with $10 million guaranteed. With Circa Millions, make five picks against the spread each week for your share of $6 million guaranteed through quarterly and full season payouts. Enter in Nevada. Play from anywhere. Visit circasports.com for the details. Let's break down some news, and we have to start in Minnesota. J.J. McCarthy. This is brutal. Was complaining after the preseason game about some pain in his knee. Didn't seem overly worrisome. And now reports are that he underwent a full repair on his meniscus. He is out for the entire 2024 season. Really, really, really sad stuff. Like, rookie quarterback, young kid, excited to, at some point, probably start for the Vikings, was, you know, really impressing in camp, and his season is pretty much over before it even begins. So, yeah, I mean, it's obviously a setback. He'll be back though, and he'll do some good things. But would have loved to see him this season. It does obviously, unfortunately, end his season, which means we have the obvious, news that Sam Darnold's now the unquestioned starting quarterback for Minnesota. And while, yeah, it would have been exciting to see J.J. McCarthy in this offense, like, give Sam Darnold credit. He's played well this offseason, too. There's a reason that McCarthy hadn't passed him on the depth chart yet. So, obviously, for fantasy, you aren't drafting him as a starting quarterback. He won't be drafted in traditional 12-team redraft one quarterback leagues, but there's some appeal in Superflex here. And obviously, you know, in Dynasty formats, he sees a bump because he's going to start, you know, hopefully all 17 games this season. And that is a very, very, very fantasy-friendly situation to be in, the starting quarterback for the Vikings in a Kevin O'Connell offense. You look at last season, whether it was Mullins, whether it was Josh Dobbs, there was fantasy relevance here. In fact, from weeks 14 to 18 last year, down the stretch, we saw Mullins three top 12 scoring weeks, multiple 400-plus yard passing games. And then when Josh Dobbs came over via the trade, he finished as a quarterback 5, quarterback 3, and quarterback 14 in fantasy during a three-week stretch where he started for the Vikings. So Sam Darnold's going to be pretty fantasy relevant. Not saying he's going to be a top 15 quarterback, but top 20? That's possible. I don't think this does much for Justin Jefferson. He was going to be Justin Jefferson regardless. Same goes for Jordan Addison, who also hurt today in practice. He was carted off, I believe, with what they're calling an ankle. And I also saw that they believe that he will be okay. Didn't look too serious, but you know, after getting the McCarthy news and seeing Addison carted off the field, definitely was a concern. We'll get the results on the test, I would imagine, at some point here today on Thursday, but doesn't sound serious. But they can't afford to lose him, right? Hockenson can miss the first, you know, portion of the season. And they have no depth at receiver outside of Addison and Justin Jefferson. Just none. So hopefully he's okay, because they just simply cannot afford to lose him. We had a trade today too. The Atlanta Falcons, who many thought would take, you know, a pass rusher in the first round of the NFL draft, they obviously went with Michael Penix, but they do get a pass rusher, trading for New England's Matt Judon for a third round draft pick. Obviously a huge move for them. Judon, you know, I think he's 32, was hurt last season for a lot of the year, but four-time Pro Bowler, easily the best pass rusher they've had in years. A team that last season was bottom 8 in sacks, bottom 10 in adjusted sack rate at around 6.8%. So definitely helps this pass rush, for sure. The secondary took a step forward last season too. Jesse Bates coming over, so a defense that's definitely on the rise, and they improved last year, especially against the run. So the Falcons added their defense by trading for Matt Judon. Matthew Stafford did not finish Wednesday's joint practice against the Cowboys due to hamstring tightness. Probably precautionary, but we'll keep an eye on Matthew Stafford, obviously. A lot of teams have had multiple injuries. The Rams is one of them, right? Puka, the entire offensive line seemingly has been banged up, and now Stafford leaving with some hamstring tightness. Here's somebody we haven't talked about in forever. Corey Davis went into Buffalo for a workout. He retired before the start of last season, and now he has come out of retirement. So, pretty interesting. Corey Davis, maybe somebody to keep an eye on. And that'll just about do it for the news. So, let's get into some bounce back candidates. Who do we have? Who is due for a season where we forget 2023 even happened in this season? Let's start at the quarterback position. Trevor Lawrence. I still haven't moved him up too much in my rankings because I just simply, and I talked about this yesterday, I still prefer like Jared Goff and Tua and Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels over him. Like, I think his floor is lower probably than like Goff and Purdy. And I think his ceiling's probably lower than Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. So it's tough for me to move him up too much. But having said that, I do understand that there is a serious bounce back opportunity for him here. You lose Calvin Ridley, but Jacksonville brings in Brian Thomas Jr. They bring in Gabe Davis. They upgrade the offensive line, especially the interior offensive line, which has been a problem for Jacksonville for years. You know, Mitch Morse at center. So definitely some upgrades there. And just at the end of the day, like, Trevor Lawrence was a key player in the regression podcast episode with Scott Spratt. The touchdown rate was low last season. He only completed 45% of his passes from inside the 10-yard line. That was a bottom 15 rate among quarterbacks. A lot of that was not his fault. A lot of it was plays that, you know, a wide receiver just couldn't get the second foot back in bounds or drops, what have you. Lawrence also had a 4.5% drop rate, which was one of the highest rates among quarterbacks, so a lot of fantasy points were left on the table last year. And a lot of it was out of Trevor Lawrence's control. And not to mention, oh, by the way, he was dealing with multiple injuries down the stretch last season. Concussion, then there was the ankle. Like, he was dealing with a lot last season. And finally, like, we've seen over the past couple seasons a lot of inconsistency with the play calling. At times, it's been Doug Peterson. At times, it's been Press Taylor. Give me some consistency. And then, oh, Christian Kirk misses the last, what, 7-8 weeks of the season? Who has been the most reliable player for Trevor Lawrence over the past couple seasons? So, you know, you have Etienne, Thomas, Evan Engram, Kirk, Gabe Davis. Upgraded interior offensive line to help with the pass rush and the protection. And then just the overall regression positively that we'll see from Lawrence. Pretty much has all the makings of a bounce back candidate. I think this team will throw plenty. I think the defense is average at best to where they will be in some games that have to keep up and score, especially in the AFC, especially in that division, right? You have twice a year they'll play what I think is going to be a pretty high-powered offense with the Colts, a team that plays the fastest pace, so we like that on the other side for Trevor Lawrence. The Texans, they project to score a lot of points now. They did last year. They just added Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon. And then the Titans, like, they're going to throw more than they have. So this AFC South could suddenly be a really, really interesting division for shootouts for fantasy. And that's one more thing that could definitely benefit Trevor Lawrence. So I do like him as a bounce back candidate this season. I also have Kyler Murray written down. Kind of an easy one. I didn't include him in the players that were hurt because, like, technically he... Like, you know what I mean? Like, Chubb had his season end, stuff like that. Like, Kyler just returned this year and played, you know, at week 10, he came back, averaged just over 18 fantasy points per game, around 30 rushing yards per game. He's pretty much given you that high floor. He's rushed for at least 30 yards and I believe 80%+ of his last 20 regular season games. I think he'll be better as a passer this season because last year when he came back, he didn't really have a wide receiver one. Like, Hollywood Brown, I think, missed like 3 of those games and wasn't 100%. He had a heel issue for pretty much the end of last season before he got shut down. Then it was Trey McBride, who was great. And then you're looking at, you know, Greg Dortch as the next, you know, best guy. We saw how good Kyler was when he had a legitimate wide receiver one with DeAndre Hopkins. Now they have a wide receiver one with Marvin Harrison Jr. And we go back, like, Kyler hasn't really played a full season since, I think it's 2021. There was 1 year, I think in 2022, where he played like 14 games, so pretty close. But the last time he played a full season, Kyler Murray was the second quarterback in fantasy behind only Josh Allen. So that upside's definitely there. It was encouraging to me that Drew Petzing and the coaching staff had no limitations on using Kyler, you know, rushing the football first game back coming off the ACL. So, yeah, he's been one of the easiest selections at quarterback for me because if I miss out on the top 4 or 5 quarterbacks, I just wait and take him and feel like I have a chance of getting somebody that can be top 3. I really do. Not quite the same division in terms of high-powered shootouts. All right, you have some good defenses there, mainly San Francisco, but I still think Kyler has top 3 upside. You can get him outside the top 8 quarterbacks more often than not. Let's move on to the other positions here, but first, we will take a break. Coming back up on the podcast, we'll talk about some more bounce-back candidates for the 2024 season. We have some tight ends. We have actually 2 pass catchers from the same team that we'll talk about after the break. Also, some veterans. I talked a lot about veterans who are being overlooked. Could have really mentioned a few of these players on that podcast too, but they do fit as bounce back candidates here in 2024 as well. So we'll continue the podcast after this short break. Don't leave. Stay where you are. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Continuing our discussion of bounce back players for the 2024 fantasy football campaign. My name is Adam, and let's talk about the Atlanta Falcons. Because Kyle Pitts and Drake London, like, London's an obvious breakout candidate. He's going, you know, second round in most drafts, insanely high. And I've just been, you know, I'm fine with him. I like him. I've also just been so high on Kyle Pitts. And finally, things are changing in Atlanta. Obviously, they bring in Kirk Cousins. Just a massive quarterback upgrade for both players. Arthur Smith is gone. Zach Robinson comes in. And it's going to help a lot. It's just going to help so much. Kyle Pitts last season led the NFL in unrealized air yards. Just, hey, Kyle Pitts, go play on the outside, run vertical routes, have a crazy high ADA, and rarely get catchable passes. Now with Zach Robinson, and oh, by the way, he wasn't 100% healthy at all, which really showed when he actually did get the ball in some sort of space. He couldn't even move laterally that well. Zach Robinson comes in. We already see it in the preseason. The usage of 11 personnel, just it was a completely different shift. With Arthur Smith there, they were towards the bottom of the NFL in usage of three wide receivers. First preseason game, they go up to like 90% with the starters. So that's going to allow Kyle Pitts to actually play more traditional tight end, which, again, Kyle Pitts is one of the few tight ends that you can actually play outside like 40%+ of the time, and he can win when he's healthy. But that means he's lining up against defensive backs more often than he's lining up against linebackers, which just isn't smart. Because if Kyle Pitts can win one-on-one against some of the better defensive backs in the NFL, imagine what he can do against linebackers. According to FTN data, Kyle Pitts, 130 of his 647 routes over the past few seasons have come with a linebacker in coverage. That's just over 20% of his total routes from that span. And in that same stretch, 329 routes against cornerbacks are the third most among tight ends behind only Kelce and Ingram. So, healthy, new offense, quarterback upgrade. Last year, I believe, TJ Hockenson, when playing with Kirk Cousins, like 81% of his targets were deemed catchable. Last year, Kyle Pitts in Atlanta was like 65% or something like that. So, massive, massive upgrade there. And I still don't think it's wrong to go back to his 1,000-yard rookie season, because that is so rare for a tight end in general, let alone a rookie tight end. I know it was a few years ago, but we always talk about, yeah, rookie tight ends historically struggle out of the gate. They don't produce much. But I don't care about the touchdowns. Like, he had 1,000 yards as a rookie. And the last time he did that was with a veteran quarterback who can make plays and get him the football. It's exactly what he has in Kirk Cousins. So he is in a tough tier of tight ends, because like he's right around the high floor that you're probably going to get with somebody like Evan Ingram. And then he goes around George Kittle, and it's right after the tier of like Kincaid and Andrews. So it's like he is in a tough spot. But I just think, I don't know if he has 1,000 yards again, but barring health, I think this will be the best overall in terms of like catches, touchdowns, efficiency, etc. The overall best season of Kyle Pitts so far. Because I do think him not being fully healthy kind of goes overlooked too. Like, I'm not saying he's George Kittle after the catch, but he can do more after the catch than he's done. And a lot of it's been health. A lot of it's also just been opportunities. Like, if he's leading the NFL among tight ends in ADOT, and majority of his targets are coming 25 plus yards down the field, and they're contested, and they're not accurate, the hell is he going to do anything after the catch? And that's what we've seen. Obviously, anybody that's worked alongside Sean McVay, I have interest in once they get new roles. Because McVay's obviously so good at scheming guys open, so I expect everybody he's worked with to try to implement that into the new offenses that they are now in. So Atlanta, yes, I'm interested in that. Even Tampa Bay to an extent with Liam Cohen. So Kyle Pitts and Drake London for that matter. Obviously Drake London, massive upgrade quarterback for him. I don't really need to go too much in depth. It's kind of the same case you can make for Garrett Wilson. It's actually the exact same case, right? Garrett Wilson's been a little bit more productive because his targets have been insane. He's like top five in targets since entering the NFL, but both players, super young, super talented. Now, hopefully have quarterbacks that are obviously old and coming off Achilles injuries, but should still be great for them for fantasy. So let's go to Aaron Jones up next. Somebody I kind of struggle with because admittedly, I do like Ty Chandler a lot as a late round player to draft at the running back position. But I also still love Aaron Jones. I think he's arguably the most underrated player in the NFL at his position. And last year was rough for him. Hamstring issues throughout the season. Didn't really get over it till late in the year. And when he did get over it, he was Aaron Jones again. Weeks 15 on, he was awesome. 3 100-yard rushing games in that span. He was fantastic. In that same stretch, Aaron Jones, he led all running backs according to FTN's Advanced Stats Hub in success rate. He led all running backs in, he didn't lead them, but he was top 12 in avoided tackle rate. He was fantastic. His efficiency was great, which has kind of always been the case with him. And he was healthy. And we'll see when TJ Hockenson comes back, but he's probably going to catch a lot of passes. Because I mentioned they don't have a lot of depth at pass catcher outside of Addison and Justin Jefferson. Like, for those first however many weeks of the season where Hockenson's not ready to come back, I mean, Aaron Jones could be looking at like 4+ targets per game. Vikings like to throw. So the only thing we don't know is like, what is the actual usage going to look like from Aaron Jones? We know he's going to be the starter. Obviously, during his time in Green Bay, it was kind of always like, Aaron Jones is so good, but we want to see him get the ball more. Right? He always lived in that 16, 17 touch range, and then, you know, Jamal Williams, A.J. Dillon, those guys took meaningful work away from him. I would guess he kind of stays in that same role, but who knows? It's a completely different team, different system. They have him for a one-year deal. What if they say, you know what? We played against you in the NFC, in the NFC North, multiple times a season. You've given us some tough problems. Let's give you a ton of work to help our offense this year, and we'll go on from there. Like, I know drafting players at his age at that position isn't the most appealing concept, but when he was healthy and you watched him, especially down the stretch last year, there were really no signs of Aaron Jones, you know, falling off. So I think he's due for a bounce back for sure. Same with Cooper Kupp, who was also coming back. Cooper Kupp, this time last season, I was ready to draft Cooper Kupp as a top 3 overall player in fantasy. And it sounds kind of weird now because like Puka emerged and all the stuff, and Kupp's going like the 3rd, 4th round of drafts, but he was there for me. And then he gets hurt in the preseason, misses the first, I believe, 4 weeks of the season. And Puka dominates the headlines. And Kyren Williams dominates the headlines, especially for fantasy. And I get it. This one I'm a little bit more worried about than Aaron Jones, actually, just because like we did see some signs of decline from Kupp. This will be his age 31 season. Last year, he set career lows in yards per out run, yards after the catch per reception, and now he has somebody like a lot of the appeal going to last year with Kupp was like, who the hell is going to catch passes outside of Cooper Kupp with the Rams? And then Puka obviously broke out, and they had a really good run game with Kyren Williams. But we've seen this offense support multiple receivers many years. When it was Kupp and Robert Woods, when it was Kupp, Robert Woods, and Cooks. They'll do it again. I mentioned this with Stafford, but when this offense is fully healthy, 28.5 points per game. They were second in offensive DVOA in those games behind only San Francisco. Like, this offense is going to be more than good enough to where Kupp and Puka can both be top 15. The concern is there that maybe it's just like the changing of the guard and Kupp is nowhere near the player he once was. I think he showed signs of both last year, showed some signs of decline, but they also showed at times some signs of him still being really, really good. But overall, like, if I'm sitting there in the fourth round and Cooper Kupp's on the board, I'm not afraid to draft him. And I'm more often than not pretty happy to. He averaged about 8 targets per game alongside Puka last year. About 5 catches. The yards came down a lot. That was a huge thing. There wasn't a lot of downfield usage. About 13 fantasy points per game. So, like, he wasn't otherworldly, right? But you're obviously not drafting him to be that anymore at this point in the fourth round. Not drafting him as a top 10 player in fantasy. And the ADP discrepancy tells us otherwise, but I'm not convinced that Puka just easily leads his team in targets in 2024. Everything out of camp, too, has said that Kupp's healthy. He looks great. Obviously, Puka's banged up right now. So, is there a chance that Cooper Kupp in round 4 is just the flat-out better value than Puka at the turn? The round 1-2 turn? I think that's absolutely possible. 100%. So, anytime Cooper Kupp's there in round 4, yes, some of those advanced analytics, still in the back of my mind, but I'm giving Cooper Kupp the benefit of the doubt in round 4. And finally, we'll close it out with a tight end. Going Pat Freiermuth, tight end for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Last year, banged up, but didn't play well. Offense was bad. It was just not a good situation for Pat Freiermuth. And I'm a little less confident about the selection after watching the first preseason game, only because the tight ends were used in a committee. And that wouldn't bother me as much, and I might view it as just, you know, a small sample size, nothing really to keep tabs on thing, if it wasn't Arthur Smith as the OC in Pittsburgh. Because last season, tight end by committee, Jonnu Smith was having so many games better than Kyle Pitts, it just drove everybody crazy. But they, you know, they use with the first team offense Michael Pruitt, who's been with Arthur Smith every stop of the way, Darnell Washington, and Pat Freiermuth together a lot. They were all kind of mixing in. At the end of the day, Freiermuth's still going to get the most routes and snaps and targets, so I'm not overly worried, but it's a tight end friendly offense. Like, yes, Pitts disappointed, but if you combine Pitts and Jonnu Smith and Arthur Smith's offense last season, was great. And the Falcons targeted the tight end position 33% of the time. It's the highest rate in the NFL. We know Arthur Smith is a former tight ends coach. We've seen him get production out of Jonnu Smith in multiple stops, Tennessee, Atlanta. It's a good scheme for tight ends. Throw in the middle of the field, play action, all that stuff. And how many tight ends going where he goes have a chance to legitimately be second on the team in targets? Bowers maybe does. Schultz? No. Cole Kmet? No. Goddard? Even Goddard? No. And he gets 0 targets in the end zone. He has like 7 over the past 3 seasons. So Pat Freiermuth, I've talked about this before, like my plan at tight end and fantasy drafts this season. Hopefully one of them fall, but try to get somebody in my top 5 or 6. And then see if like Kittle or Pitts fall to me. And if that doesn't happen, I'll take Jake Ferguson. And if there's just a tight end run or I fall asleep at the wheel at the position, I will take Pat Freiermuth. I will probably draft somebody else close to him just in case that might have some upside. And I will hopefully be right about this offense being good for Pat Freiermuth. Because that is, if you are in a league with me and we have a draft coming up, I just told you my plan at tight end in draft, so congratulations. But it's pretty straightforward. But that'll do it for me for bounce back candidates for 2024. Could have listed a handful more players. Again, I think all those players I kind of led with, you know, Chubb, Jonathan Taylor, Anthony Richardson, they all apply still. Especially Taylor, right? Like Richardson, the sample size was so small. But Taylor, like we know, is going to be awesome this year. And he just obviously dealt with multiple injuries last year. Then even when he was healthy, at times would split with Zach Moss until he fully got healthy. But now it's like there's nobody competing for touches. Like it's Trey Sermon and now he's banged up. So it's like Evan Hall. Yeah. Anyway, love Jonathan Taylor. And I love everybody that's listening. We appreciate it so much. Check out all of the podcasts over at FTN Media for all of your fantasy football and overall sports content, basketball, baseball, golf, you name it. We have it at FTNFantasy.com. And hopefully you took advantage of that promo code FTN15 to get yourself 15% off. But that'll do it for me this week. We'll be back with three more episodes next week, ramping up to the start of the 2024 season. And if you have any fantasy drafts this weekend, A, check out FTNFantasy.com. Sign up. You'll be more prepared than ever. So, there's no way you won't be prepared. And B, hit me up on Twitter at AFIFER24. Any questions you might have, always love chatting, talking some football, and helping out people in fantasy leagues. That's what we do here on the podcast and at FTNFantasy.com. Thanks for listening. As always, have a good weekend. We'll talk to you guys on Monday. Goodbye.